Show yourself.
Show yourself. Show yourself. Show yourself.
In all respects.
In all respects. All respects.
To be a model.
To be a model.
To be a model. Of good works.
Of good works.
And in your teaching.
And in your teaching.
In your teaching.
Show
integrity.
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 Dignity.
Dignity. And sound speech.
And sound speech.
That cannot be condemned.
That cannot be condemned.
Condemned.
So that an opponent
can be put to shame.
Having nothing evil
to say about us.
There we go. You guys doing good? I'm having wardrobe malfunctions here, so doggone headpiece thing. I guess my head's too big. All right. So, one, they gave me running room. All right. You know what that means, right? It's on. All right. We got the row out of the way. Couple of things before we get going. Just want to say, one, thank you all you guys who went out and did the water bottles yesterday. Fun day. Just something informal, just simple, just to love in our communities. Go out. I know some people had hit or miss at some of the parks. We went to 3 parks before we found some people to really hand out some water bottles. FYI, Bond Park is evidently a really good park if you ever want to hand out water bottles, because there's a ton of people there, and we went through a couple of cases. So thank you guys for doing that, engaging people. I know we had some just cool conversations. One little sad thing that hopefully we can, as believers, can represent Christ even more. It is kind of sad sometimes that people still wonder what your angle is, even with free water. I mean, people ask us, do we want donations? Of course, I always say, man, we should capture that one. But we were like, no, we don't want your donation. People would ask repeatedly, like, why? Why are you handing out water? And just, you know, we want to love on people in our community. So it does show we still have a lot of work to do, especially as believers, to show the world true kindness, true compassion, true love, that when people get a free bottle of water, they're still skeptical. So that's the nature of our culture, skepticism, like, what's your angle? What do you want? But people were very appreciative, and it was kind of cool, so I want to appreciate, thank you guys for doing that. Also, the students were heading off today, so get all that stuff straight after the service. So today might be a little bit different. So let me just lay things down. Here at 1039, if you're a visitor, welcome. We don't try to be really, like, predictable in a sense. We really want to be Holy Spirit-led, Christ-centered, gospel-centered. So that means when you come here, like, yeah, we have messages, we have things planned out, but man, sometimes God just says, hey, I know you were planning on going this way, but why don't you go this way for a second, because I really want you to be attuned to my spirit. And that's kind of some of the things that we're going to look at today. You know, we started the book of Titus. We're going to finish up next week, but I don't think I'm really going to get to the book of Titus today, just so you know. But we're going to do some work in the Holy Spirit today. Let me just set some things up. And some of you know what I'm talking about. The enemy is on the prowl. The enemy is trying to mess up what we are doing here. I mean, he is coming out. God gave me a warning about a week and a half ago. I told you guys last week. I mean, just had an amazing time with the Lord a couple weeks ago. I had the Matrix moment. I see the code, man. Just amazing moment with the Holy Spirit. Just some next level even stuff in my personal life. And then we come out and God, even in that moment, God gave me a little bit of a warning. I'm like, okay, I get it. I understand the devil is going to, See, sometimes the mess you feel in your life isn't about what you're doing. It's about who you're becoming. Like, you get that? You understand what I'm saying? See, the enemy, he's not worried about all the times what you're doing. He's worried about what you're becoming. Because he knows if the children of God will truly grab onto their identity. He knows that if the children of God will truly rest and know and get involved with the Holy Spirit and allow the Holy Spirit to invade them and really realize the power we behold as believers and children of God, the enemy knows that if we really become the people God saved us to be, that's disastrous. See, the enemy really isn't concerned about your philanthropic work. He's really not as concerned about us handing out water bottles and doing good deeds, although we are called for good works, and we'll talk about that. But what the enemy is so scared of, the enemy is scared of awakened people of God. And see, we want to blame everything in this world right now for so many moral things. Sure, name your stuff. But the real issue is the children of God are not awakened to the power that's within them. And so the enemy, and I believe God is awakening the power of the Holy Spirit big time here at 1039 Church. I see it, I feel it. And so the enemy is at work. The enemy is at work in people's lives in here. There's some mess just going on, just some mess. And I want to give you a couple of things. Even this week, as God warned me, I mean, even this week, the devil's been coming after me and my wife with slander. Got somebody trying to slander me of one of my wife's former students who posted a sexually harassing picture on Twitter. And because I replied to that tweet that I see this, could you please remove it? I'm being slandered. Yeehaw. Then I wake up this morning and my car won't work. It's like, oh, great, this is wonderful. Now, do I say that to make you feel sorry for me? Heck no. Don't feel sorry for me. Don't have pity. It's not about feeling sorry about pity. It's about compassion and kindness, because I say this, and like I said, if you're a visitor, I hope you're not like, oh my gosh, they're pretty vulnerable here. Yeah, we are. We are serious about community and family. We're serious that everybody has junk in their life, and the enemy is coming after everybody, including me. And so if I can't stand up here and be your brother in Christ and just like, just preaching sometimes isn't what you need. See, there's this mindset in America, and we talked about last week, I bookmarked the end of the service, so let's come back to the spirit and truth. In John 4:24, you know, Jesus told the woman at the well that God is looking for people. There's going to be a day where people worship him in spirit and truth. You must worship him in spirit and truth. What does that mean? We get a lot of truth, right? Me preaching a message with God's word is truth. You going and reading, that's truth. We spend a lot of money on the mind and the truth. And yes, you need to have your mind renewed. Paul says that in Romans 12:2. But there's a lot of, like, teaching, just the mental aspect of being a believer has really hijacked the church. What do I mean by that? Well, there's gifts. The Holy Spirit gives gifts, and you can go to Romans and look at those gifts. You can go to 1 Corinthians 12, look at those gifts. You can go to 1 Corinthians 14. There's gifts given by the Holy Spirit. There's a lot of gifts given by the Holy Spirit. But there's also gifts given by Jesus. Ephesians chapter 4, he says there are apostles, prophets, evangelists, shepherds, and teachers. Gifts given by Jesus. And so what we've done is we've exalted the gift we can understand, teaching. And you're thinking, well, aren't you teaching right now? Yes, I am. We use it for a little bit. But we have so hijacked the church with just teaching that we forget there are other giftings. There are other things going on. And the Holy Spirit honestly gets treated sometimes like that third cousin you don't want to come to the family reunion, right? It's like, oh, Bob's coming over today. Hide the wine. All right, you know what I'm saying? That's kind of how the Holy Spirit is treated. It's like, if we let the Holy Spirit up in here, he's going to do something crazy, and we're going to look like fools. Yes. Yes. You think the apostles and the followers of Jesus, when Jesus said, hey, go wait for me in that upper room, he was already dead. Like, he ascended. He's like, oh, you're dead, boo-hoo. Wow, you're here. That's pretty amazing. Now you're floating in the air. That's kind of cool. By the way, go wait for me. And do what? Eat some, you know, bread or something? And then the Holy Spirit falls. Pentecost happens. The Holy Spirit falls. They begin to speak in tongues, and everybody's like, and like they said, that people thought they were drunk. Sometimes when the Holy Spirit falls on you, yes. Now, granted, there's this level of reverence, and I've told you, I made a bold statement last week that some of you probably didn't even realize. I said, I pray you guys go home and speak in tongues. Some of you are probably like, what in the world church did I just step into? Are you the holy rolling people? Well, what do you mean by holy rolling? Now, are we going to be distracting and disrespectful and acting crazy and doing backflips and all that stuff up here? No, because the Bible sets out that precedent. We come together. We want to make sure we honor God. And reason I said, I pray you go home and speak in tongues, because I'm just quoting what Paul said. Paul gave them the instruction in 1 Corinthians 14. This is how you orderly and hang out together. And he says, I want you to actually chase after the higher gifts. There's greater gifts. He said tongues is the least of these. But he says tongues, what it does, is it edifies you. It edifies, it builds up you. Your mind is unfruitful, but it builds up your spirit. And he says, I pray you all go speak in tongues, but I speak more than you. And he says, I will not forbid it. So we don't forbid it, but it ain't going to be like a free-for-all and just edifying yourself. We want to go after the greater gifts. What are greater gifts? Well, one, prophecy, the edifying of the body, speaking God's word, but also people who are discerning can hear God's voice that encourage other people. How about service? How about helps? How about hospitality? Those are gifts nobody really wants to exalt, right? We always use the kind of a debased mindset. Well, bless you, brother and sister. You just have such a great gift of service. Has anybody ever really bragged on somebody's gift of service and hospitality like it was something awesome? Now, what do we do? Man, that preaching was awesome. That music was awesome. Man, did you see how they're just a spirit-filled person? And Paul's saying, yes, go speak in tongues. That edifies yourself. But Let's gain after the greater gifts. Where am I going? I told you I want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit because the enemy is trying to disrupt. And we are becoming a people that are aware. I really believe we're becoming a people that are aware. See, you may not know each other personally, but I've gotten to know a lot of people in here. So I know a lot of the backstories. I know what God's dealing with people in this room. And I know how people are really just going through some mud, man. And I know that people are really experiencing God. I know people are really sitting there going, okay, let's do this thing, but man, I don't know what to do. And so I know what's going on. We should count it all joy. Like, I have frustrations, and if you know me, there's two reactions, fight or flight. Like even this past week, sitting back doing nothing, I don't have really a flight response in me hardly. So it's hard for me not to fight back. But God says, count it all joy. Some of you got some mess going on right now. And it's easier, I'm saying it, and I'm admitting that it's easier said than done. Count it all joy. Because the enemy is scared of what you will become. He is scared that you will realize who you really are. He is scared that you really will grab onto the power of the Holy Spirit and you will begin to operate with boldness, with courage. He is scared that you will begin to operate in a manner that is so powerful, there's nothing he can throw at you to shake you off of your game. That's what the enemy is scared of. Is that easy to overcome? No. No, that's why we have to do community. That's why family is so important. That's why we can go fix the symptoms in this world all we want. I said last week, church has become so symptomatic and therapeutic in its approach. We have the symptoms. Let's go fix homosexuality. Let's go fix racism. Let's go fix our politics. Let's go fix all these things. Okay, you can fix all of them, but if we don't get to the heart of the matter, it doesn't matter. Therapy is not going to solve the problem of the spirit. It is a heart issue. And so what we've lacked true Holy Spirit led genuine community that has compassion and kindness for each other. Come along beside each other and pray and hang out and just sometimes cry. Sometimes maybe you got to say a wordy dirt too. I mean, sometimes the enemy makes you that man. You just got to get on each other's shoulder and say, you know what? We're going to get through this thing together. And one thing I never, ever want to do at 1039, I never want us at 1039 to be so ashamed that we hide. Because see, the enemy is the author of confusion. He accuses the brethren. He brings shame and he brings guilt. And see, the enemy wants to remind you what you once were. The enemy wants to keep you under oppression of under your faults and your sin. The enemy wants to remind you that you're not worthy. And what you get to say in the freedom of the cross and the freedom of the Holy Spirit, you get to say, yes, I know I'm not worthy. That's what led me to humbly give myself to Jesus anyway. I knew I wasn't worthy. You got some new news, Satan? But no, we get like Eve and we go, I don't know. It's maybe God's not as truthful as he said he was. And we begin to just doubt God. We begin to just forget what he really says about us. And he says, worship and spirit and truth. I want to read Galatians 5:16-26 again. And I just want to kind of unpack something in Hebrews chapter 4. And then today I just want us to pray. I want us to come together as a family. Like I said, I had a lovely message all planned out. We hit Titus chapter 2 and do all this stuff. And then just God's been pressing. And look, I'm admitting, man, there's a lot of distractions. It is hard to think when the enemy is kicking you in the head, right? Amen on that one? If you're getting kicked in the head, can you actually do simple division? No. All you can think about is stop kicking me in the head. Like 2 + 2, I don't know, stop kicking me. So it's difficult. It's difficult when the enemies kick you in the head, but we must learn how, 1039, we must learn how to filter everything we see in God's word. We must learn how to worship in spirit and truth. We must understand that we cannot allow the church to be teaching central. We cannot allow the church to be one gifted minded. We've got to get to the church where we release everybody apostolically, that every one of you guys have a gift, talent, and ability that needs to rise up, and God's calling you to raise up. Everybody has different gifts, talents, and abilities, but we're all equally righteous in God's eyes. We're all equally talented. We're all equally important, and without all of us raising up and supporting each other and doing what we do and using our gifts, your gifts will never be more than what you use them to be. You will never grow past what you use them to be. And then God showed me this week. This may sound stupid, but I get it. Maybe you won't get it, but it'll come to you later. You can't move mountains if you live at the beach. You're like, just think about it a second. And a lot of us, we live at the beach. I love the beach. I'm from the beach. My family's down there. I like the water. I hate the sand. It's weird. But you cannot move mountains if you live at the beach. And God's saying, move to the mountains. He's like, he said, if you have faith as small as a grain of a mustard seed, tiny little thing, you can tell that mountain to jump and it will jump. Some people are like, well, you know, that's just metaphorically speaking. He's just saying, you know, it just represents if you have great faith, you can do great things. Really? Okay. I'll buy that about this much. So you're telling me that I can't look at God's word and I can't first look at his word and say it says what it says, so it means what it means. So you're telling me I can't actually believe that God actually literally said, if I have that small of faith, I can tell an actual Appalachian or Rocky Mountain, hey, why don't you move over here to New Mexico because I don't like you here. You'd be like, you're crazy, preacher. You're just smoking something this morning. No, it was a six-pump white mocha day from Starbucks. Had to go a little bit stronger drink this morning. Wasn't just a blonde medium roast with some milk in it. I had to get a six-pump white mocha today. So, yeah. But no, that's the point. Like, we doubt God, man. The problem in the garden wasn't eating the apple. It was doubting God. And the enemy wants to remind you of that. And the enemy wants to make you feel bad about that. So we're not going to doubt God. His promises are true. His promises, he never, ever lies. And I know there's a heaviness. I know there's a heaviness. And the heaviness is because the enemy is scared to death. And as much as it hurts, I got frustration. Some of you are hurting right now. I want to encourage you. The enemy is scared of you. That's a good word right there. The enemy is so scared of you. But what does it mean to worship the Spirit and truth? We bookmarked this last week, and I want to bring it back because I think this is something we need to really grow into. In Galatians 5, Paul tells the Galatians, he says, but I say to you, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the desires of the flesh are against the Spirit, and the desires of the Spirit are against the flesh. For these are opposed to each other to keep you from doing the things you want to do. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are evident: sexual immorality, impurity, sensuality, idolatry, sorcery, enmity or hatred, strife, that's cliquey, that's factions being splitting people up, jealousy, fits of anger, rivalries, dissensions or quarreling, always angry and trying to find fault with everything, divisions, envy, drunkenness, orgies, and things like these. He says, I warn you, as I warned you before, that those who do such things will not inherit the kingdom of God, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such things there is no law, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. What does that all mean? Live by the Spirit. See, the enemy reigns and rules in our five senses. What we can see, feel, touch, taste, and hear. That's where the enemy manipulates. See, living by the Spirit is trusting what you can't understand and what you cannot see. And it's difficult. There's not a 12. That's why there's not a 12 step here to just being this. I can give you 12 steps, I guess, to, you know, watching your potty mouth. I guess I can give you 12 steps to fighting an addiction or whatever. But there are really no symptomatic approaches. I told you last week that the therapy that the church wants to give you, just giving you therapy only changes the symptoms and maybe gets you down the road a little bit. Like, if you got a true addiction in your life, just going to therapy is not going to solve the heart issue. That's what the Spirit really does. The Spirit understands that it's not living by the soul. See, anxiety, frustration, getting your mind distracted, depression, anger, all that stuff is generated out of the flesh, the soul, the broken part of us. I got it myself. And we recognize those. That's why he says live by the Spirit, so you can recognize those things. The flesh, the soul, and the spirit, they conflict one another. They're going against one another. When we were created, we were given a soul. And Adam and Eve ate the wrong tree. They disobeyed God. They sinned. Their soul was broken. They didn't get a chance to eat of the tree of life. That's why God kicked them out and said, hey, we got to get them out of here before they eat of the tree of life and become like us and live eternally. So they had soul. We had identity. We've been created in God's image and likeness. But our soul was broken. That is what's destructive. That is what's tainting us. And then through Christ, we are born again spiritually. And the Spirit is what redeems us. The Spirit is what gives us the fruit. The Spirit is what pushes on us and illuminates things. But unfortunately, we tend to focus on the flesh, the soul, so much. Because, like I said, when you're getting kicked in the head, it is hard to hear anything else. And so it is so very important that we begin to identify what is of spirit and what is of soul. And that is going to take time. That is going to take us walking together. That's going to take us being vulnerable. That's going to take us doing things like when somebody attacks you, you want to fight back, right? Because that's my first knee-jerk reaction when somebody wants to slander me is I want to fight back. I want to say, what are you smoking? Let me tell you about this. Let me tell you the true story. That's my first reaction. But God's first reaction is totally opposite that. God's first reaction is just chill. I mean, I can't, respond. Nah, just chill. God, but you see the name they called me? I know. What's the name I called you? See, God's always got the cool answers. It's like, doesn't matter. I'm my seven-year-old son right now. Daddy, they call me a name. Okay. Are you being that name? Well, no. Does it make you so? Well, no. Okay, then you're good. That, what do we do? God, he, she called me a liar, called me this. Okay, well, are you being a liar? Are you being this? Well, no, not right now. Okay, well, don't worry about it. What have I called you? It's remembering what God has called. What has he called us? Holy, blameless, children, chosen, righteous, holy people. That's if you have said yes to Jesus, that's what God has called you. That's who you are to him. Kings and queens destined for the kingdom of God. You're like, oh, that's just some fancy preacher talk. No, it's in the Bible. And unless you learn how to really listen to that, you're going to fall short and you'll become the trash men of society. And God says, no, you're way more important to pick up the leftovers of the enemy in this world. You're my people who are going to run this joint. And the enemy comes after us, and he does not want us to be in charge. He does not want us to understand who we're becoming. But it all comes back to this. Why is it so important to understand the Spirit more than even the truth? Because the truth is God's worth the gospel. I was sitting in the little room back here because I had to come early because I had to ride with my wife because the car broke down thing. And God just said, it's by this, and I want to take you to Hebrews chapter 4. In Hebrews chapter 3 and chapter 4, the author is talking about God and talking about rest. I know a lot of you right now, you don't feel rest. Right now, I'm a little antsy. Been distracted this whole week. Really distracted. And I'm ADD. So the enemy, like, he knows how to get me. Just keep kicking me in the head. And I'm like, I can't think of anything else. But it comes down to, even Jesus said in Matthew 11:28, he said, come to me, all you are heavy laden and burdened, and I will give you rest. He says, take my yoke, because it's easy. The cross was hard for Jesus. And it was hard for him, so it could be easy for us. And it's all about rest. Until we, my brothers and sisters, understand to really focus on the Spirit and begin to see with the things that aren't unseen, begin to see without the five senses, we will never truly enter into rest. Here's what the author of Hebrews says. He was talking about people aren't entering into rest because they have disbelief and they have disobedience. We got to call that out. At times, we are disobedient to our God, just like Adam and Eve. We're disobedient, so we do not have rest in those things. Character is so important in today's society. We want talent. We want gifting over character and fruit. All right? Well, what do? We look at a seminary degree or a resume or whatever. We want talent and gifting over character. And as we'll see next week, most of the things God calls Paul to point out in leaders and in the church is more character-driven than it is gifts-driven and talent-driven. Yes, we've always said that we don't want to put people up here who are tone deaf. That would kind of be awkward. But I can tell you right now, it's not about Michael Sesmat or Susan or anybody else who gets up here and they have a talent to play music. It's about their character and their heart. You should, honestly, right now, when you come to 1039, if you evaluate anything, remember I talked about last night, we come through that door sometimes and we're like, well, I just don't feel God. Well, you probably didn't even bring God in here. Come in with a spiritual spreadsheet, checking off, well, this music wasn't this. Let me tell you, if you want to evaluate anything, you need to evaluate the character of the people who are standing before you. Now, that's a scary thing for me to say out loud in front of you. But I want my character to be strong. I want my character to validate. I don't want this microphone. I don't want my ability to speak. I don't want my knowledge of quoting scripture to speak. I want my character to speak before the truth that comes out of my mouth. And if we start evaluating people who are leading that way, we got some things going on. But God is really asking us to worship in spirit and truth because it comes down to this, rest. Hebrews 4, God dealt with the disobedience and the unbelief. It's not going to be on the screens because I flipped the script on them today. So they're like, whatever. I already gave him warning. I said, don't worry about it. Titus ain't coming today. The Holy Spirit's going somewhere else. And honestly, the Holy Spirit just gave me this 20 minutes ago, so have fun with that one. Hebrews chapter 4, the author gets into this in verse 8. He says, for if Joshua had given them rest. In other words, if the promised land, just getting somewhere, was the point. That's what he's saying. God would not have spoken of another day later on. You know, the promised land, that was the first step. I'm getting you out of slavery. There's a land you're going to take, but there is a true rest. There's another day coming. So he says, so then there remains a Sabbath rest for the people of God. You understand that's not just your, when you get 65, get your RV and go to Florida, right? It's not what he's talking about. There is a Sabbath day, a Sabbath rest called eternity, right? It's why we should focus on our eternal hope. It's why as believers, we look forward, not backwards. It's why as believers, we don't worry about too much about tomorrow. You can plan all you want for your 401k and everything else 20 years from now, but you may not be here 20 years from now. But guess what's going to be here? Eternity. And he says that Sabbath day rest is coming for God's people. For whoever has entered God's rest has also rested from his works as God did from his. How do you enter the rest? It ain't because of the soul. Your soul is restless. Your five senses are restless. Your humanity, your flesh wants to do more. Even our flesh in church wants to just work for God. We get so busy, like we punch in a time clock. Some of us are Christians, we're so anxious and we're so just stressed out because we view God as this guy that we got to punch in the time clock. Okay, God, I'm checking in today. Hey, you want a water bottle? Want a water bottle? Hey, you want to get a drink? Jesus loves you? I'm checking out. What kind of a fruitful day is that one? So we're just working for the man? God says, I just want you to rest with me. Seriously. He said, just breathe. Just breathe. I had to tell a little kid, I'm coaching football again, and we had practice yesterday, and one of the other kids wanted to try for quarterback, and he's getting up there, and he's like getting up there. The receiver's not even up the line. He's like, I said, hey, dude, chill. Like, you're starting the offense before the receiver. Like, nobody's doing anything but you. Just calm down. That's what God's telling us. Like, we're trying to quarterback everything. Dustin Hike, I got it. And the offense is not even set. And everybody's like, what just happened? I don't know what's going on. And God's like, just breathe. Just chill. I know they're kicking the head, but just chill. Just breathe. I have rest for you. I know it might not be restful now, but if you focus on the eternal rest, that's what believers get. That's why our future is so important that we look forward and we not look back. Have you ever tried to, I've said this before, have you ever tried to drive a car with a rearview mirror? Won't last long, will it? Might look like a pretty road behind you. Maybe even see some mountains behind you. And eventually, if you keep doing that, you can see the wreckage of your own car behind you because, boom, you'll hit somebody. God says, spirit. Spirit looks past what I can feel, see, touch, taste, and hear. Spirit looks into the depth of the heart. Spirit looks into the character. Spirit says, I just enjoy God for who he is. Spirit says, I can't wait to go spend time with my God. Spirit longs for the day we have this rest. That's what spirit does. But along the way, we have this soul. We have this mess. We have this anger. We have this frustration. We have stuff kicking us in the head. And the Spirit is the only thing that's going to give us rest. And he says in verse 11, let us therefore strive. Strive, strong word there. Like, you want to chase after that as hard as you can. Let us strive to enter that rest so that no one may fall by the same sort of disobedience. You understand, most of us, when we disobey God, it's not really because we don't like God. I would venture to say, everybody in here who's a believer in Jesus Christ, you honestly love God. That's why you said yes to Jesus. But because we get so caught up in our soul, and the enemy does a good job of kicking us in the head, and it's so loud, things are so loud at us, all this stuff. This stuff this week with me has been very loud, so loud that I'm like, I couldn't even focus on what I thought was supposed to be a message. I had to just sit down, and I had to do what my soul didn't want to do. My soul said, just get up here, go through the motions, you're in Titus, preach to Titus, and call it a day and go into the lake retreat with the kids. But my spirit says, shut up, don't talk back to that lady who's trying to slander you. My spirit says, just sit, pray. My spirit just says, hey, even if you look like a fool today in front of these people and the visitors don't want to come back, just speak what I'm giving you to speak. I'm just like, okay, God, I don't even know why I question you anymore. You've done this so much. I mean, if you have a microphone, just go ahead and look like a fool. I can do it for you. The spirit says, that's what I'm striving after. And sometimes the disobedience isn't the big name sin. See, we want to say, well, you're disobedient because you did this big old sin. And sometimes the disobedience is just because we simply just doubt. It's simply because we rested on the soul. We rested on the flesh a little too much. And God's like, just chill. And I'm a hyper ADD person. Actually, I think I'm a little chill today even for having a six-pump white mocha today. So I get the whole chill speech from God all the time. You know, in weeks like this when he really shows me, it's the Spirit. He says, verse 12, and I read this last week, but I'll read it again. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing the division of soul and of spirit. See, God's word, the living Christ, God's word and the living word of God, it splits. Even Jesus said, I came to bring a sword. I came to split. See, the gospel message splits. It splits that which is most natural in you to that which is supernatural in you. And see, what happens is the soul wants to live in the natural, and the spirit wants to live in the supernatural. And I know that sounds all warm and fuzzy and, woo, I saw a cross in the cloud stuff. I'm not talking about losing your mind. I'm talking about we are supernatural people living and saved by a supernatural God. If you even believe there is a God who said, poof, planets, molecular structure, then by nature, you have to admit that we're supernatural. There's nothing natural about a supreme being going, planet, poof. Well, that was pretty cool. Nothing natural about that. We are supernatural people. And God's word splits. The gospel splits. It ain't even a split families because the truth does not waver. The truth is not gray. The truth is black and white. It's either yes to Jesus or no to Jesus. There is no middle ground. There is no purgatory. And the spirit, the word of God splits the soul, splits the natural, which is broken, and brings into the equation the supernatural. Now we have the true tree of life. Now we have Jesus. Remember, the tree of life was in that garden. Adam and Eve, Satan came in. Remember, he's scared not of what they do, but of what they become. He wanted to get in there because he knew in that garden there was a tree of life. And he's like, let me get in there before they partake of that tree of life, before they actually disobey God and get cast out. So he came in there. He got them to eat of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, the only tree that God says do not partake. The only one. Satan got in there and was like, let me get in here. Let me get them all. Let me kick them in the head so they won't know what 2 + 2 is. And they didn't partake of the tree of life. But that's great because God is so sovereign. He is so loving. He says, all right, you got them here in the garden. I'll give you that one. Scrub, I got you. I created you, so you don't know the answers. Fast forward 4, 5, 6, 7, 8,000 years, however you want to calculate the age of the earth. Jesus. It's cursed on a tree. He is the tree of life now. And here's the great thing about the true tree of life. You cannot deny that one. That one is there for all of us to partake. The enemy cannot, will not, and has not won. We must live by the Spirit. It says, piercing the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It is the Spirit that reveals your true self to you. Listen. Listen. It is difficult sometimes to hear the Spirit of God really reveal the inner depths of who you really are. Because we have to be real with ourselves, and we have to sometimes look, and we take an introspective look at ourselves. We have to deal with the soul part of us. If we don't deal with the soul part of us, he says we are crucified. We are dead to that. So why try to raise the dead again? The Spirit looks into the depth of who we are. And the Spirit sees, yes, the Spirit says, okay, that is broken, but that's okay. You're free from that. And the Spirit gets in there and the Spirit says, you are rejuvenated, you're redeemed, you're righteous, you're perfect. One day I'm coming back to put it all together and make you completely new. But the Spirit takes us to be patient. The Spirit takes us into that rest that we must have to see. And he says, no. He says, in discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart, and no creature is hidden from his sight, but all are naked and exposed to the eyes of him to whom we must give account. You cannot hide from God. I mean, we can try that experiment on three. Let's hide from God. Where are we going to go? I mean, you can get up on your seat if you want. He's kind of got x-ray vision, I'm thinking. You know, better than Superman. Just understand, like, there's nothing you can hide from God. And that's the greatest thing about sin. That's the greatest thing about what the enemy wants to do. He wants you to think you can hide. He wants you to cover stuff up, because if you cover stuff up, then you got to keep covering it, you got to lie. And God's like, hey, what are you doing? I've exposed that. Just come out of the darkness, live in the light, it's all good. And yes, sometimes it hurts to have that pain and that darkness exposed. Absolutely. But it's all exposed, even our enemies. That lady who's trying to slander me, God's like, you don't need to worry about her. I got her. You just go do your thing, man. Stop worrying about what everybody's saying. Some of you right now, you got some mess going on in your life. God's literally trying to say, I know it hurts. It's not being unsympathetic. He's going, don't worry about that. Just, I really do have it, God is saying. Do you trust that I spoke the universe into being? Do you believe that my son saved you or not? I told you guys back at, I forgot what series it was, that we have to wake up preaching the gospel to ourselves every day, right? I don't care how long you've been a believer. I don't care how many sermons you've read or have heard. I don't care how many Henry Blackaby books you've read. I don't care how many commentaries. I don't care how many vacation Bible schools you went to. You have to be able to discern the voice of God, and you have to listen to him. And God is saying, hey, everything is exposed. I got you. And trust. And you have to be able to wake up every morning and preach the gospel to yourself. If you can't run back the simplicity of Jesus loves me, this I know. That sounds way too theologically simple, right? That's not even, that doesn't even hit you like here. That kind of hits you about right here, right? Jesus loves me. This I know. It's that simple and that complicated. And then it finishes up. The Spirit is so important for us to chase after and learn to listen to, because the Spirit gives us true rest. The Spirit allows us to listen when all hell is breaking loose in our life. And it's because of this, verse 14, since we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Don't forget the gospel. Don't forget the confession you've made. Don't forget who's your king. Don't forget who you are. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Do you realize, as much as we want to play the victim, I want to feel like a victim at times. You realize there's only been one victim in the entire history of mankind, right? You're like, that's insensitive, because I'm a victim. I've got things coming. Like, bad things happen to good people. Yes, what we define as good. There's only been one victim in the entire history of mankind, and that was our righteous King, King Jesus. And he identifies with us. He was tempted in every way. He understands your pain. He really does. He understands what the enemy is trying to do. He understands how the enemy's kicking in the head. He's got it. He got kicked in the head. He says, the one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. What does it mean to draw near to the throne of grace? Do we pull a chair out and we sit here? How do we see the throne of grace? I told you, these are the things that are unseen. These are the matters of the heart. These are the things that are deeper than you can understand. These are the things that are opposite and against what you even think. The throne of grace is King Jesus. It's not even a Holy Spirit central. It's Jesus central. We're not trying to build a Holy Spirit culture. We're trying to build a Jesus culture. And the Holy Spirit is what lives in us, drives us, allows us to function and see and even defeat the enemy. But Jesus is what we're striving after. So, like I said, I had some of this last week. Then literally 20 minutes ago, God gave me the rest. So I don't know if this made any sense at all. Welcome. I hope you have a good day. But I just want to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit. I want to be sensitive to what God's doing. And I see the writing on the wall, and I see the stuff, and I know I know what he's trying to do. And I'll be doggone. That's as G-rated as I can make it. I'll be doggone if I let him get you, if I let him get me. I know how to fight physically. But I'm learning even at 40 years old and a pastor and a believer for 21 years ministry, I'm learning even now to how to fight more spiritually. And right now, he's teaching us as a body of believers how to fight spiritually. And it is so stinking frustrated at times. Because you can't just grab the neck of the enemy and squeeze it physically. Like, I get that one. Choke you out, doggone it. But these attacks, and I feel everything in my bones, everything in my spirit. It's because this little body of believers is starting to become and starting to realize the people that God's called you to be. And the enemy's like, whoa, let me keep them over here in this tree of knowledge of good and evil. Let me keep them away from that tree of life, because Lord mercy, if they get a hold of that fruit, man, you're talking about a V8. That's more than just a V8, like a V12. The enemy does not want you or me to really eat. To really eat from that tree of life. He wants us to stay focused on the senses and the tree of knowledge of good and evil. And so we're not going to do that. We're not going to give in. So here's all we're going to do. I think we just need to pray as a family. I've talked long enough. I'm done talking. So here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to open it up, but I want to pray. I know there's some things specifically that I want to pray over some people. So don't be embarrassed. I'm not going to talk about your dirt. I just want to pray over you. I really want to, Rob, you're in that booth right there. Come down. I want to pray for Rob, Michael, and Paul real quick. So, Rob, I hope you're moving, but come on out. They can hear me in there. Rob, Michael, and Paul, I just want to pray for them. I want to lay hands on you and pray for you guys. They all work for the same company facing some possible layoffs. And so I hope you're not embarrassed. We're a body. We're believers. But these guys work for the same company. And so it's part of the thing. And they're good men that I love dearly. And so you've been in my heart this week. I don't know all the inside scoops, but Michael, Trisha, Michael, Sesmat, Miss Annie, would you come like lay hands with me on them? And we're just going to pray and just ask God for protection about whatever's going on. So I love you guys, man. And whatever happens, well, I ain't got no money, so I can't give you any. But you guys are awesome. So let's pray for them. Father, we just love you. Holy Father, I just want to lift up Michael, Paul, and Rob to you, Father. God, in the situation with Qualcomm and the potential layoffs, Father, Lord, your will be done, Father, but give them peace. Give them safety. Give them security, Father, through the Spirit, your Spirit, Father. God, allow them to see with their spirit's eye, not their mind's eye, their soul's eye, Father. God, just help us as a family and a body of believers to be able to love on them and come behind them and beside them with wisdom and just encouragement, Father. And then we continue to fight the good fight of faith together, Father. God, we just ask for your protection. God, I do ask out loud and faithfully that, you know, if either one of these three are facing any type of layoffs, Father, you would just thwart it and just supernaturally allow them to stay right where they're at, Father. So we ask that, Father, but also we trust you no matter what happens, Father. We love you. Thank you so much for these men's heart. God, thank you. I know these men are striving after you, Father. I've gotten to know them. I've gotten to see them. And God, just begin to continue to reveal yourself to them, Father. I know the enemy does not want them to realize more fully who they are in you, Father. So God, help them, Spirit, lead them, and just anoint them and protect them. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Love you guys, man. Thank you, man. Also, I'm not trying to embarrass, but I really want to pray for Maddie and Stan. I'll let them tell you the story. We're going to pray over them. Sometimes you wonder, how much more can some people take? You honestly can. This is a good family, man. I've gotten to know them. And, you guys have been on my heart more than anybody. And I just want to pray, man. I don't have all the answers. Exactly. Dana's in Alabama right now dealing with some stuff, but honestly, please, please pray for this family. The mess in the past month that has befallen them is, literally, it just sounds cliche to say, really. Satan doesn't want you to realize something. And like my mentor told me this week, I don't know how you count this all as joy, but I'm going to try to count it with you. And know that you and Dana have something. Dude, there's something coming good. Because the hell that's being unleashed on you is not of God. God does not do that. So same group, would you guys come and let's lay hands on them. And we're going to pray in lieu of Dana too, but Stan and Maddie and just all the mess that's going on and just protection and peace. Father, thank you for the Kiefer family, Father. Holy Father, thank you for Stan and Dana and Maddie, Father. Thank you that they're a part of this family at 1039, Father. God, there are some things, I don't even know what to put words to, Father. And I know Dana and Stan really don't know what to put words to, Father. But we're just going to rest in your truth. We're going to rest in your glory. And we're going to ask, God, would you please, man, bring some sunshine, Father. Bring, God, abate the pain, Father. Bring a great peace, Father. God, I know the enemy sees some amazing greatness in Dana and Stan, and he does not want them to realize it, Father. So, God, I pray your peace, your glory. God, I pray just your anointing, your favor. I pray your strength, Father. I pray that you would just embolden Stan and Dana through all this. God, we thank you for the cross. God, we pray that your spirit will give us answers where there are no answers, Father. Your spirit will give us peace where there's no happiness. Your Father, your spirit will give us joy where the boat's rocking, Father, and we just don't understand all the mess. Father, we love you. Father, we thank you so very much for your son. We pray we never, ever get over the cross. And we can stay focused on the eternal hope that's coming. Father, you're so amazing. Again, Father, anoint this family. Protect this family. Give this family great peace right now. In Jesus' name, amen. Love you, man. Love you, love you, love you. All right, Sherilyn, you're next. Come on, we're going to pray over you. Why y'all sit down? Didn't you get the story the first 30 times? This is Sherilyn, awesome lady, Fireball, Michael's wife. Pray over her too. Just mess, man. The enemy's wanting to just hold back who she really is. And I know there's greatness. And so just want to pray on you. I mean, you guys, these people have been on my heart specifically. And I know personal stories, and I'll let them tell you their own story. But I just know the enemy's coming after these people and trying to do some things. And we're not going to let that happen. I got your back. I will kick him in the teeth with you. So we got your back. So, Michael, you can come pray with me and you guys, Michael and Michael. Three Michaels up here. I don't know if that three is a charm or whatever. I'm going to pray over Sherilyn. And just, man, we love you, Sherilyn. Thank you so much for being here. And you're doing an amazing job. And, man, I can't wait. God, there's an amazing stuff about you that it's there. It's there. And we're going to all strive together. Father, God, I want to lift up Sherilyn, Father. What an amazing woman of God, Father, that you've brought to 1039, Father. God, her zeal, her excitement, her energy, just her passion to just know you more and to just exemplify you more, Father. Father, I pray you continue to just strengthen that fire within Sherilyn, Father. God, I pray right now all the worry, all the just the distractions of the enemy, Father, right now, you would just calm that all down, Father, and your peace of your spirit would just reign supreme in her heart and her mind, Father, that your spirit will continue to grow, Father. God, I just, in the name of Jesus, I bind Satan from all the people we just prayed for, Father. I bind Satan, and I tell him that, Satan, you may get us for a minute, but we're truly going to find out who we really are in Jesus Christ. So, Satan, you can keep fighting, but we've won the battle. Our king has won the battle. So, God, I pray in Sherilyn's life, Father, that you will continue to reveal more and more of who you've made her to be, Father, that she will see more and more of the amazing princess that she is in you, Father. So God, strengthen her, give her peace, give her wisdom, give her calmness, Father, and allow her to just blossom in the spirit and in the true life that you've given us, Father. We love you and we praise you and we ask all these things in the blessed name of Jesus. Amen. So here's what I want to do. I just want to, Sesame, you got that mic, right? Got a few more minutes. Of course, I don't know about you guys, but God's not on a time frame. So again, if you're a visitor and you're like, well, this is a little strange. We make no apologies for trying to be family. We make no apologies for trying to be community and loving on people, because that's what it's all about. And so what I want to do is, I just want to pray. I'm going to get on my knees. You can get on your knees. You can get on your face, whatever. And I want to open it up. And by the way, I've already seen, I'm going to go to Walmart this week. We got to get some Kleenexes. Because this is, right? I'm like, doggone, we don't have any Kleenexes. Don't touch me no more. But I just want to pray as a body. We prayed over these people because I just know that they specifically needed some things. I know all of you need some prayer. I don't know everybody's story specifically, okay? So don't feel shunned or anything like that at all. It's not about that. That's the soul wants to feel shunned. The spirit's like, yes, let's do this. Michael's got a microphone. If you're scared of a microphone, then oh well, don't grab the microphone. But I mean, I just want to take a few minutes, and as the Holy Spirit leads, and if anybody wants to pray out loud over this body and just you feel like God's giving you a prayer just to pray, then just raise your hand. Mr. Sesmat will come give you a microphone, and you can pray. And if you're one of those four-hour prayers, just if I go to the bathroom, don't be offended. But we just want to take some time and I just want to be obedient to the Holy Spirit. So I hope that's okay with you. I hope it doesn't make you feel weird, and it may be silent. You hear the air. It's okay. Sometimes it's good to be silent. So you heard me pray over those people. There's more things going on. Let's pray and agree the blockade of the enemy. Let's pray and agree that we will begin to really live by the Spirit and begin to really, really see who God has called us to be. And it's way more than you think. And sometimes it's really not even what you think. And we're going to pray for that. And if it's silent for 5 or 6 minutes, then I'll finish it up and we'll sing and we'll go home. But I want to give this opportunity for everybody to have a voice and everybody to pray. So Michael's got the microphone. You just raise your hand and we'll give at it. I'm going to ask, actually, would you mind just starting it since you have the microphone? And then after he starts it, have at it.
Lord, we just come to you, Lord. We're just a church body put together as one. Lord, just want to ask that you just continue to move powerfully in this church. Although we know Satan is out to kill, seek, and destroy. Although we know he's out prowling around, Lord, just looking for things to grab a hold of. Lord, and each one of us has something in our lives, Lord. Each one of us has or something that we're struggling with, something that we're going through. Lord, and you know each one of our hearts. Lord, I just ask that you would just give us, Lord, the strength in times of weakness, Lord, when we do have doubts. Lord, I pray that you would just continue to press on our hearts, knowing that we're already victorious, Lord, that you live inside of us. Lord, the same power that raised Jesus from the grave lives inside of us. And as we just come to a point in time where we just see just the mess in life, the mess around us, Lord, and we just see the craziness. I pray that you just give us a peace in our hearts, knowing that you're inside of us, that you're with us, that you're moving. Lord, and we just want to cast Satan just aside and know that he has no power over our lives. He has no power over our situations, Lord, and he can throw whatever he wants at us. And as your word says, you will not allow us to go through anything that we can't handle through your power. Well, it's right now in this moment, Lord, I just pray for the people at 1039. I just pray for the people in Raleigh, Lord, in Morrisville and Cary and the surrounding areas, Lord. The RTP, Lord, is it's an area of a lot of knowledge, Lord, but Lord, Satan just allows. Lord, we just allow Satan sometimes just to get inside of just the things in life, and we become focused more on what he's doing and what he is causing to go on, Lord, instead of focusing on your grace, your love, your mercy, Lord, your power. Lord, so right now, we just want to hold on to you. I want to just pray that we would just be a body of people that would just, Lord, as Chad says, just are being wakened up. Lord, that I pray great things would come. Would just be coming down the road. Don't you just use us in a powerful way?
Lord God, thank you so much for 1039. I praise you, Father, because you are doing an amazing thing here, and I feel it, and I'm just so grateful, and I just give you all the praise and all the glory for what you're doing here. But I just pray, Father, again, I just pray for people. I have a heart, and you just speak to me about people here who are hurting and who need healing. And I know there's not one person that walks in that doesn't have something going on, and they just... I just pray for each person that walks in the store, and I pray for this church as a whole that the Holy Spirit just heal us and restore us and take us, make us the people that you want us to be. And I just pray, Father, for protection over this church. I pray, Lord God, that you add to the numbers, not because the numbers are important, but because we want to reach people for you, Father. And I just pray, God, that not one person walks out of the store today and feels like church is over with and church is done. But this is what's important, and I pray that each one of us, that's heavy on our hearts, Lord God, that we are convicted to know that this is what's important. This is what matters. Not work, not football, not anything else, but this is what's real, and this is what's permanent. And I just pray, Lord, for each person that we make time in our lives for each other, to love each other and be there for each other. And I just pray, Lord God, that you use us to love on people who don't know you and to love on those people who are broken. And I just pray, Father, protect us. Just lead us, guide us on, Lord, forward for you to do eternal work for your glory, God. Strengthen us. Strengthen Chad. Give us what we need to keep going, because we are conquerors, and your power's in us. Don't ever let us forget that, Lord, that we can achieve everything you want in your glory through the power that you have given us in your name, in your precious name. We love you so much. We praise you. Thank you so much for your grace. It is enough. I just pray this in Jesus Christ's name.
Lord, you're such a good father. You are such a caring, loving, accepting father. Just you watch over us and protect us so much. And I pray that we never forget that. God, just this right here, that the body of the believers coming together, the church, I pray that we be encouraged to know how much the enemy does not want this and how proud you are of us for the simple fact of coming together, loving on each other, praying over each other, encouraging one another. And I pray that more and more each day we find our identity in you, God, because that is how we will combat and resist evil, Father. I pray that just all the stuff that we're all going through in our lives, we learn that through submitting to you, God, that is how we will just push the devil away, push all the evil and every bad thought out of our lives, Father. I pray we be strengthened and encouraged by the power that resides in us because of you. Holy Spirit, just continue to consume us every day of our lives. May we never cease to persevere and count every suffering just joy for your name's sake, Father. I pray we never cease to meet together in your name, God, because that's exactly what the enemy hates. He hates to see this, God. I pray we be strengthened and sustained by that. We just align ourselves more and more with your amazing love and grace, God, in our lives. And that we never hesitate to come to one another. That we bear each other's burdens. We help strengthen and encourage each other, Father. God, I thank you so much for this church. And the minute I stepped in the door, I felt so accepted and loved and cared for. God, your love was truly put on display. And it's done so much to help strengthen my faith in you because the believers that you've put in this building, God. I just thank you so much for leading me here, for Chad, for all the leaders of this church, and for the overall community that has just felt so strongly in this building, God. I thank you and praise you for that, Father, and I pray over every single one of these people in this church that they be strengthened and sustained by that as well, God. In your precious name I pray.
I just want to invite anyone who'd like to come forward, and we're going to pray for our pastor, pray over him, help pray him through the things that he's going through right now. So if you'd like to come, just anyone who wants to come up, we're going to pray for him right now. We'll just take a few minutes and allow you to pray and to talk to God over him. Then I'm going to pray for us. Father in heaven, we are grateful this morning that we belong to a church family, a family where we can come together and we can do this right here, God. We can pray for one another. We can just help each other carry our burdens. God, we lift up our pastor to you this morning. We know that this does not take you by surprise, that you saw this coming a long time ago, God. And I just pray that you would encourage him and help him to understand and to realize that he doesn't have to defend himself, God, that you're right there to defend him, that you'll do the work for him, that you'll fight the battle for him. God, we know it's not easy to be a leader, and we know it's especially not easy to be a spiritual leader. And so we just lift him up to you. Trust that you have him in your hands. God, thank you that through prayer that we can actually participate in the situation, God, that we can not just say, oh, all we can do is pray, but that we can actually speak to you about him and for him. And God, that even though there may be nothing else that we can do, that this is the most important thing that we can do, is that we can lift him up to you, and that we can pray, and we can actually be a partaker in this situation through our church family and through this body. God, we know that anything that people intend for evil, that you can turn around, that you can take and use that for good. And so we ask that right now. We know that there are things going on behind the scenes that we can't see. We know there is a battle that we can't see. But we are grateful when we realize that you are the one that fights the battle for us. Help us to trust you in that, God. Help us not to fight ourselves. Help us not to just try to take control and try to do everything on our own and think that we're lone rangers and that we can take it all on ourselves, God, but help us to trust in you. God, help us to trust in you when we can't see and we can't understand and we don't know what's going on. But I just pray, God, that you would increase our faith. God, you've given us faith. Make it stronger. Help us to look to you in all things. God, thank you so much for a family that loves each other and that shares with each other, that spends time with each other outside of these walls on Sunday mornings, God. Help us not to pray here and leave and forget about it, God. Just make it at the front of our mind, make it our lifestyle. Help us to never cease to pray for each other. Father, we love you this morning. We're not always sure about what you're doing, and not always sure about what's going on, God, but we are grateful that you know and that you have great plans for us, and though we don't know what those are, we leave them in your hands. Just help us to be obedient, to follow you in that direction. Show us the path, God, that you want us to take. We pray everything this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. Amen.